great, awesome revelation, but the mysteries of God that come out of her are awesome, Father, too. And I thank you for that in this moment, in this time, that you've released her as a prophetic voice, Father, as a woman who sees into the Spirit and knows your heart, Lord, and can see and understand things, Lord, that sometimes she, where others look over, Lord, she sees the fine detail, Lord. And I thank you for that anointing. And I just pray right now as she opens up the creativity of God, that you would open up to us things we've not seen before. Lord, would you return wonder and awe to our hearts this morning about your creativity? Lord, we so many times we look at little things, even a shell or a flower, and we just think, oh, that's cool. But we don't have the wonder and the awe that we should have, Lord. And so I just pray that as Mia is sharing this morning, that the mysteries of God, the wonder of God, the awe of God would fall in this place. And Lord, would you just fill her with joy unspeakable right now, full of glory. And may we just be completely roasted in your love as she reveals more of your nature, that you are good, Papa. And your goodness is displayed in creation. It's displayed through everything that you have made. And everyone said, amen. Actually, we're not going to say amen. We're going to say yabba dabba do. You ready? One, two, three. Good.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Excellent. I love speaking on this stuff. It's my favorite creativity, and there's just so much realm for it. There's so much scope and imagination, and anything is possible. Anything. Anything. So, you know, you come here, and some of us maybe might be a bit weird. In a bit, but that's because we're creative, because anything's possible. God can do anything, you know. If you have this much faith, tiny, tiny thing, God says nothing's impossible for you, nothing. So imagine in the creative, nothing being impossible. And I was having, I had picture during worship, and I felt like I was in a snowy place. In Melbourne. So I'm from a warm place. This is like a snowy place to me. And I felt like I was in the snow. And there was this big lake. And on the big lake, it had all frozen over. But people didn't know about ice skating. They went to go out on the lake. It's like, no, don't go on the lake. You'll fall in. You'll fall in, don't do it. It's like, no, you won't. It's turned to ice. Because water can be ice, and it can be flowing, or it can evaporate, and it can become a cloud that surrounds you. See, God moves in all sorts of different ways. And we box him in the lake, but we can skate on it. You know, we can come and skate on the lake of God. And I feel like God wants to challenge you guys that to expand your vision and to see things differently and to see things from his perspective. Because do you know, he is life and he is creativity, and there's so much brimming in heaven. Like I haven't personally had open visions of heaven. I've had visions of seeing different parts of heaven, but I've heard of, you know, people being taken to heaven. And when they go to heaven, they talk about the colors that are way more than we have here. We have, what is it, 7 in a spectrum or 12 or something? 6 in the, I can't remember. But yeah, our spectrum's like this, and God's is innumerable. He just keeps creating color. I want a new color today. We'll call it Bravida. I don't know. What would that look like? What would it be? I've heard people going to heaven and the grass is alive. It has little faces and eyes, and you go to open a doorknob and the doorknob's alive, because God's life and everything he does carries life. And I just think, I want to be there. And have you ever heard of you know, God having a room for you in heaven, and how he says he prepares a room for you. Now, whether we actually get a room or not, I don't know, but people have had dreams and visions of going up to their room in heaven, yeah? And this girl went up and she had this room in heaven. It was everything that she loved and wanted. And the intriguing thing was there was a coffee machine in her room in heaven. She had to just press the button, coffee comes out, you know. God loves coffee. Come on, he created the coffee bean. Thank you, Jesus. I just think, what would my room be like? And sometimes I don't even know all the things that capture my heart, but he knows me way more than I do. He knows all the things that capture my heart. And I know that, you know, my room's going to be filled with things. Oh, I love that. Look at that. I love it. That's amazing. Or, oh, my goodness. And I picture my room and I picture these massive, big pictures, which I can jump into, like in my dreams, they kind of have paint that I'll just slap over places and then I'll go into the world and of the picture. Have you ever thought about jumping into a picture? I love walking through galleries and going, if I jumped into that picture, like Night at the Museum 2, yeah? Have you all seen that? And they jump into the pictures and I'm like, yes, bring it on. So God wants to paint a picture for you today to jump into. And he might have a whole gallery for you to jump into because that's what he's like. He can't help himself. And your picture will be different from somebody else's picture. And someone might even have a sculpture and someone will have a mime, which is really fun to think about. Jesus miming around you. But I want you to feel loose. So how about you all just have a big wiggle. I don't want you to shake off fear. I want you to shake off like just this box and conceptions and just have a big wiggle and just shake it off you. Just shake off some of that stuff, you know. Whoo, let's get loose. We had this guy, Surpreza, and he said, you know, God's not tight. He is loose. He's loose. And that's, you know, he is. He surprises us all the time. He's completely consistent in his character, but completely unpredictable in what he's going to do. Yay! Yay! So who knows what's going to break out in this next hour? And I just want to flow with it. We want to flow with it this weekend because I think that's the thing about creative people. We all get a bit scared of them because we don't know what's going to happen next. And we don't know what's going to happen next either. We're like, oh, okay, yeah, let's roll with it. So anyway, let's get to my notes. All right, so let me read you this thing. I want you to close your eyes. And this is just some notes by a lady called Judy Rushfelt. I wish to inspire you today. And, yeah, to inspire you to dream. Okay, about 15 years ago, I was rummaging through some old boxes stacked away in a forgotten closet when I discovered a stack of poems that I had written during my childhood. Shaking off the dust and cobwebs that clung to the thin, yellowing paper, I began to read. I discovered a long-forgotten world, one that sang with romance, adventure, and mystery. It was a world of princesses, heroes, castles, where the princess was always rescued and the dragon was always slain. Each flower had a name. Children flew on magic carpets and a pot of gold glittered at the end of every rainbow. I felt an aching sense of loss. A part of me was buried within these poems, neatly mummified and hidden away in closets of predictability and duty. When did I stop dreaming? At what point on the road to maturity did security become more important than adventure? How did the soldiers of mediocrity sulk into my heart to capture the free spirits of romance and adventure, locking them up as prisoners of war and slowly starving them until all that remained were skeletons? For me, it was a time of reckoning. Something precious had been lost. something intrinsic to my life purpose had been denied, represented and stuffed into a box labeled mediocrity. That day, I prayed a simple prayer. God, I know you have a bigger dream for me than I could ever dream for myself. Help me discover that dream and give me the courage and faith to embrace it. Yeah, I discovered that somewhere in my journey, and it gets me every time. I'm like, wow, when did we stop becoming childlike and embracing all of the mysteries and the dreams and the wonders and the anything possible? You know, when I was a kid, I honestly believed I could fly and walk on water. And I'd get my broom, because that's how I saw it in the movies, that you'd fly on a broom. I didn't know about it. And I'd go to the top of my driveway and try and fly. I'd jump on the broom and run down. No, I'd run down and then I'd jump and expect to fly over my house. And I'd do it again and again and again and again, thinking one day it's going to happen, one day it's going to happen. Because anything is possible. And you know, God has a dream. He has a dream for you. He's a dreamer. This thing that we're in, this world, this is his dream. Jesus dying for us and us coming into the fullness of heaven invading earth is his dream. And the thing about God is that, you know, he has a dream, but he wants you to grasp hold of it and our partnership to come together so that it can happen. So it's important for us to grab it, because he's not just imposing it upon us. He's saying, join me in this. And he's an artist. He's a musician. He thought about you and thought, I want one. I want a Sam. And there's no one else like him. And I'm going to create him. For the rest of eternity, I want to hang out with him. And there's no one else ever like that. He's incredible. God is phenomenal in his dream. And you know what? We're his workmanship. I love that scripture in Ephesians 2:10. It actually, in the New Living Translation, says, we are God's masterpiece. You're his artwork. You're his creation. He has created us anew in Christ so that we can do good things that he has planned for us long ago. So God was creating us, and he had a model. Jesus. He had a model when he created humans. Himself. He's doing a self-portrait. You are God's self-portrait. And not only that, is he got his signature and he signed his name on you. He wrote his name in the clay and he picked up his paintbrush and painted his name on the picture of your life. So if you have a Van Gogh picture with Van Gogh's signature on it, that's really worth something, yeah? A Monet? God. You know, his name is on me. And when you carry that name, Van Gogh, Monet, you carry the atmosphere of that person. You carry the flavor. You carry the aroma of it. Artworks have aroma. Music has aroma. You can walk into a gallery. I know Arthur Boyd, his work is often dark, and you know it carries this ominous feeling. You're walking around the room, but then you come to Monet's work, and did anyone see that recently? A couple of years ago, it carries the life and vibrancy, and there's anointing on his works that you just, it hits you. And we do that. If you think of us as a painting, that's God's masterpiece, carrying him around. It's really cool, hey? See, God is creator, and you are his creation. And I'm going to talk about him as creator and how he speaks and how he moves and how he works. But the most important thing I want you to grasp is you are his creation. You are his artwork. And because he is in you, you get to create. I am creator. Ooh, that's a bit scary. But God is creator. No, I'm his daughter. And he is in me. And we get to create together. Because I have God marked on me. And it's ultimately precious. And, you know, God, did you know the Hebrew words for creator are bara and yasta? So in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim bara. And then later on in the Hebrew, he uses the word bara as his name as well. So he goes, Elohim bara, and then he calls himself bara later on. He is creator. It's his name. It's who he is. He can't help himself. Right now, God is creating because he can't not. He's just flinging stars into space and breathing out the universe. There's like new little animals, insects continually being discovered and things at the bottom of the ocean. Now, I don't know if they're new creations. I don't know. Maybe that some are. We don't know because we weren't there at the beginning to see if there was a whole big gamut and they're just all suddenly dying off. You know, I don't know, but here I know he's creator, and every day he creates a sunrise and a sunset. And do you know what? There's a continual sunset and sunrise all the time. We see it twice a day. He consistently sees it roving around. Do you know he's consistently creating new life because people are being born every day right now? There's celebration, but there's celebration in the kingdom of heaven as right now people are being saved over around the world. Heaven's partying. Poo, 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 poo. This person gave their heart to Jesus. That person gave their heart to Jesus. That person. Poo, creation, creation, new life, his spirit. Poo. He can't help himself. In the beginning, God created. I've heard it be like a song that he actually sung. And as he sung, the vibrations came. Do you know where vibrations? You've heard of string theory? That when it comes to the lowest littlest particle, we're strings that are vibrating. And it comes together to form our cells. And they don't know what's holding the vibrating strings together and what's causing it to vibrate. And I tell you, it's his voice. He spoke, and the cadence of his voice comes out and causes everything to move and have life and hold ourselves together. And he started, and he hasn't stopped. And he's singing over us right now. Do you know, it talks about God singing over us, and he sings his songs over us continually. And what if he's singing? That's what's holding us together today, because he's got a song that's brooding around us. And what if you get in touch with a song that God's singing around someone, and it changes the atmosphere of depression into an atmosphere of life and love, because there's no depression in heaven. There's none of that. There's just hope, and there's life, and there's new ideas. Like, I love it when you come out of, you know, we all have times when we go down, yeah? But when you come out and nothing's actually changed. Your situation's completely the same. There's the same money in your bank account. There's the same, even just, you know, cold that you've got. There's the same situations. But suddenly there's hope. And you know the kingdom is here. Because God's hope is here. Because he's creating life. It's who he is. I just want you to think about just the macro and the micro. This is called a Romesque cauliflower. It's crazy, hey? You want to pass that around? God is entirely random and completely ordered. He is a song. He is a paradox. He is a story. And we can never grasp him because we'll say, oh, he's completely unpredictable. And then something lines up like that that is absolutely perfect. Do, 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 do. And then it's seemingly crazy. We had this guy, Kevin Demon, come, and he said, I loved it. He goes, if I was to create the world, I would put all of the ferns in one place, and then I'd put all of, you know, the gum trees in another, and then the palm trees over here, and it would all be ordered, and the stars would be down like this, and down like that, and then across like that. And the lakes, they would just go from here to there, poof, the quickest, easiest way, you know. But God just goes, poof, you know, and he mixes it up. I mean, look at us here. We're an interesting mix, aren't we? We're always an interesting mix. You get a bunch of people and we're an interesting mix because he loves to mix it up. But then he loves to create order as well. I love him. Do you know God's language is creative? I teach on dream interpretation, and I often try and get people to just try and think differently, because often people think dreams are like, oh, no, I don't have the gift of dream interpretation, you know. Oh, it's like it's something like, you, Joel, now have the gift of dream interpretation. And it's not like that. It's just God's language. And it's not just for dream interpretation. It's actually for the creative arts. It's his language is creative. He can't help himself but speak to you in a picture, speak to you in a vision, speak to you in a dream. He doesn't just go, now I want you to go to India. He will do random things like put you in a place where you just consistently get given curry. And you've got to work it out that, hang on, why am I keep on getting curry? And then you get introduced to Indian people, and then the name Goa comes up. This has been happening to Ree like numerous times. And he's not just, now go to Goa next March and stay there for 5 days and do this. No, he tells it in a riddle, in a parable, in a story, in a rhyme, in a picture. It's his language. So we think that we need to go out there and tell the world in words, when he doesn't do that all the time. He tells it in a story. When he was on earth, he just told parables again and again and again so that they can work it out. Do you know why? It's participatory. I'm not just telling you, I'm causing you to think. I'm causing you to enjoy. I'm causing your cogs to go. I'm causing you to participate and enjoy the same thing. And I know, I don't know about you, but when people prophesy over me, I love it when I have a picture. If they say, I'm seeing this massive key, and this key is encrusted with emeralds, and God's put it on a chain. It's not just one key, but it's many keys. And he's giving you the key to worship and to throne room worship, because emerald surrounds the throne room of God. And I will remember that in the next few weeks. But if you just tell me, you know, I feel like God's just wanting to give you throne room worship, I'll walk away and it won't stick into my spirit often. It often has to be accompanied for me with a picture. An example, so that I can carry it and be jogged in my memory to respond to the word of God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. So he's secretive. He's sneaky. And he wants to share with us in ways, you know, so that we can discover them. My favorite verse is Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. And also Jesus talks about, he goes, for these things are for you to be revealed, but not for the others. He says, and what you have, you will be given more. He wants us to share in his mystery, and that's creative arts. We share in the mystery of Creator God. And it's not directly in your face. Sometimes it is, but it's often on the side, that God will come in an angle on the side and you're in an encounter before you know it. You're like, I'm never going to be one of those shakers. That's what I said. Those shakers, they're weird. You don't have to be a shaker, by the way. It's what God wants to do. It's not about me. It's him. Just do what you want with me, God. But don't make me shake. That's just really weird. And one day I go, do whatever you want with me. And bang, I'm like, oh. But I'm like, yes, yes, more God, because I want you. I just want you. I don't care what you do with me. I want you. I want to be a vessel. I want to be used. I want, you know, do what you will with my life. I am yours. And sometimes he makes me look ridiculous, but I'm feeling his presence. And I think, you know, the foolish things of this world will shame the wise. Like, that's me. I can totally relate with that verse, you know. Yeah. How much time do I have? Cool. I've got lots to say, yeah. So God wants, he speaks creatively. His language is creation. So we've got Romans 1:20, for the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly being seen and realized by the things that are made, even his eternal power. So we realize God's eternal power through creation. Yeah? Who's seen Double Rainbow clip? Oh, there's this clip of this New Age guy who sees this double rainbow and he's like, the double rainbow! What does it mean? Oh my God, it's beautiful! It's so beautiful! And he's going on like this for like 5 minutes and tripping out on a double rainbow because the eternal power is being seen through creation. And we laugh at this and it's quite funny, but he's got it. He's having an encounter with the eternal power of the Creator through creation. Bring that on in my life, God. Let me be floored by creation. I was driving a friend to the airport, and there was this massive rainbow that came and formed all the way over the airport. And then I left, and the rainbow was still there, and God said to me, I'm going to show you 7 rainbows when you go home. I'm like, God, I've never seen 7 rainbows before. And sure enough, on the way home, I counted 7 rainbows, and I was driving through them. It was beside me. It was over me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. Just, I was floored. I was in tears. I came, no, there's 7 rainbows. There's a rainbow. Promises of God. God's giving me his promises. And just completely, completely floored by his creation. I was sitting at Bermagui, at Beauty Point on the lake, and I was talking with Ree, and as I was talking with her, 50 fish jumped out of the water at me like this, and I'm like, ah! And I'd been asking for fish. I said, God, give me a fish, don't give me a stone. When you said, I said, I asked for a fish. He said, you'll give me a fish. And I was asking for things. I said, I want fish. And he just didn't give me one. He gave me 50 that jumped out of the water. And then for the next hour, fish were just jumping. And I'm like, oh, oh. And there was this huge lake. And they weren't jumping anywhere else. They were just jumping around me for an hour. Because God's going, honey, I want to speak to you through creation. And I went down to a place called Mystery Bay and I was declaring things out. And Mum and I were prophesying over Mystery Bay. And we're like prophesying that the mysteries would be revealed. And then a school of dolphins jump out of the water and like go like scooting around. I love his creation and he speaks through it. And pay attention. Ask for it. The other day, I mean, you can ask for it and see what happens. The other day I was like, God, I need some wisdom on things. And if I'm on the right track with this, I want you to send an owl to fly past my car. Because my friend, was having owls. And at the moment, as you see owls everywhere, God's actually speaking to people right now about wisdom and being able to see in the dark and see through precision in the darkness. And that's what the owl is. It has perfect vision in the dark. It has night vision and it's wisdom. And so he's wanting to equip his bride with wisdom and vision and flight in the darkness. And so I'm like, God, my friend had an owl at their house, and I'm like, show me this owl. He didn't that night. 3 days later, I was driving, and an owl flew past my car. I'm like, oh my goodness, it just happened. And then I drove past another road, and there was an owl on the side of the road. I got two owls. I've only seen three owls in my life, I think, and it's all been this year when God's speaking about it. Because he speaks through creation. It's his language. And when you tune into his language of parables, riddles, visions, dreams, creativity, paintings, you get to hear his voice. I love going to the art gallery. God speaks to me through it. And I'll go to the art gallery one day. I went to the art gallery one day and I saw this like crown of thorns. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I came up to the crown of thorns. It wasn't a crown of thorns. It was these skinks, these that had dried and they'd pinned them together so they looked like a crown of thorns. I'm like, oh, that's disgusting. And then I walked into another room and there's this they looked like fists coming out of the ground. I thought, oh, they've molded these fists. That's interesting, like fists reaching up of the ground. I'm like, yeah, we're rising from the dead and we're reaching up of the ground. And I came over to the fists. I'm like, they're not fists, they're bones. I'm like, oh. And then I walked past this branch, paper mache branch with these leaves on them, and I thought, oh, I was a teacher at the time, and I thought my kids could create that. That's some of the things in the art gallery, you know. And then I looked, and it wasn't leaves, they were butterflies. And God just went, see me, things aren't always what they seem, are they? And it went like a penny, it went clunk. And I'm like, oh. Took me three times. Bang, bang, bang. I thought it was this, but it was that. I thought it was this, but it was that. I thought it was this, but it was that. And then God slammed home his word to me. And I got to see the circumstances of my life differently because of it. And that's what we want. We want to harness the creativity of God as creator, and for it to be a part of our everyday life. You know, there's a thing called divine foreshadowing. Have you heard of that before? So divine foreshadowing is God always declares something before he does it. He declares it to his people. That it's Isaiah 43, around that. He says he will declare his word before he speaks. So There's a really great book called If This Was a Dream, What Would It Mean? By Murray Jewick, and it talks all about divine foreshadowing and some examples in history. And one of the examples is the American president at the time, I think it was Bush, went to Japan, and they're around a dinner table, and he suddenly felt violently ill and lapsed over onto the fell onto the shoulder of the Japanese president. President, and he might have even been sick on him, and then the Japanese president had to push him up. And Murray pointed out that was a divine foreshadowing, because just a couple of months later, the American economy dropped, and Japan had to come and prop up its economy. So this is the kind of thing, if you're aware of what God's doing, you can hear him speaking about things, because he'll declare it before it happens, because he loves to do it. But it's a mystery. But who gets to see the mysteries? We do. To us, it's revealed. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. So we don't get held out. He doesn't hide things from you, he hides them for you. So search it out. A divine foreshadowing in my life, Rosie painted this picture, and it had the beach and airs and butterflies, and said it's time to fly. And then the next day I felt like God said, go to the beach. in the morning. I'm like, cool, all right, I'll go to the beach. And as I went to the beach, there was these, you know, those things that you blow them, dandelions, and they fly everywhere. To me, they're God's promises. There's thousands of them on the beach. I'd never been surrounded by anything like that before. And I went to the beach, and I'm like, oh, this beach looks like the picture that Rosie painted. It's like the same sky, the same beach thing. And then suddenly, all these butterflies flew past me, hundreds of them, and into the ocean. Now, I've never seen that before either, and apparently it happens once a year. These butterflies, like, fly out into the ocean, and that was exactly her picture. Butterflies flying out into the ocean with the sky. He's like, Mia, it's time to fly. He loves it. Now, I don't know whether he planned to do the sky that way and told Rosie about it so she painted it, or whether Rosie painted that and God goes, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that tomorrow, and I'm going to tell Mia to go out and enjoy it because she was drawn to that painting. See, he got Adam and he said, name the animals. He wants you to co-labor with him. He wants you to be a co-partner in his glory. There's this little girl called Jordan who's an artist. I love it. An article, Through the Eye of Her Heart. And she's 5 and 4 and does these prophetic art. You can Google her and see art. But let me read you some of her writings when she was 4 or 5, 5-year-old girl, okay? When God paints a picture, he doesn't let you see all of it at once. He likes to watch your eyes see each new part. It's like they're talking to him. Sometimes God hides behind his work and listens to what you say about it. One of the reasons God hides is so we can have fun finding him. Gosh, she's got it, this kid. One of the reasons God hides is so that we can have fun finding him. God is invisible, so you have to look for his clues to know where he is, kind of like Blue's Clues. He does little hints so you know it's him. God also hides because he really likes surprises. It's one of his favorite things. He can't get surprised. That's why it's fun for him to see me get surprised. You never know what he'll do. That's why it's always a surprise. See, he's into relationship. He wants to see your eyes. He wants to see your response. He wants to get you surprised because it delights him. And he uses creative means to do so. And it's fun. He wants you to be like him. All kids are dancers and painters and musicians. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a dancer. I want to be a painter. We need to emulate Papa and paint with him. And he loves getting his fingerprints and our fingerprints and slapping them on the page together. Just consider the Bible. It is the greatest literary work in all of history. And he got human hands to write it and mingle their words with his. You know, there's human mistakes in the Bible, yeah? Paul's like, I don't know if I baptized this many, maybe this many. John's like, and the guy's cloak fell off him and he ran away naked or something like that in Garden of Gethsemane. It's like, why do we need to know that? We're the greatest of them all. You know, humans... fingerprints are littered throughout the Bible. Their thoughts, their feelings, their opinions. And if God littered human thought, feelings, emotions throughout his word, which is the greatest literary book in all of history, the most powerful thing, why will he not want to use your artwork and your writings and your songs to convey the kingdom of God? He wants you to create. He is creator and he is in you and he's busting to get out. He's busting to create with you. Let's play. Let's hide it so they can discover it. Let's change history. Do you know art changes history? Music and art have come and hit history before any preacher has. You know, the movie Hairspray. And have you all seen it? And it's this musical that, you know, is all about dance, but it's integrating African-Americans into the white culture when there was white segregation. And African-Americans could dance on this show before they could sit in a proper place in the bus. Yeah? They had their African-American day of dancing on television shows and things like that. They were allowed to sing and dance before they were allowed to just eat in the same restaurant. Because the creative arts provides a platform for the new thing to come. And it always comes in the arts first. I've seen, you know, there'll be a poem, there'll be a song. That's why music transforms. And they'll sing it and it will hit your spirit. And it's actually a revolutionary doctrine that they're saying. But you don't even realize because you're just swinging along to the music and it's coming into your spirit. And then suddenly you're believing something that's entirely different to what you've known before. James Agari, he wrote a book called The Eagle That Could Not Fly, That Would Not Fly. And it's about this eagle that gets trapped with chickens in this chicken farm, and it thinks it's a chicken and it's pecking on the ground thinking it's a chicken, and it gets fed chicken things, and a naturalist comes along and says, "This eagle, that's an eagle, that's not a chicken." And the farmer goes, "Nah, it's a chicken. Thinks like a chicken, it acts like a chicken, it is a chicken." And it goes, "No, it's an eagle. It was destined to be an eagle. It was born to fly. It's destined to fly." And he takes it up to the top of the roof and he goes, "Eagle, you're an eagle. Fly." And the eagle looks around, looks at the chickens, jumps back down, pecks with the chickens. The naturalist goes, "Oh." Next day comes, "That is an eagle." And the farmer's like, "No, it's a chicken. Look, it's eating with the chickens. It thinks it's a chicken." He takes it to the top of the hill. "Eagle, you're an eagle. You're born to fly." I could still see the chickens, hops back down, pecks away, and finally comes back again and again and again. This time takes him to the top of the highest hill and the highest mountain and turns the eagle towards the sun and says, "Eagle, you're an eagle, not a chicken, and you were born to fly." And the eagle facing into the sun, the eyes change, and he remembers who he is, spreads out his wings and flies. Now let me read you why he wrote this story. The story, The Eagle That Would Not Fly, actually ends with the sentences, "My people of Africa, we have been created in the image of God, but people have taught us to think like chickens, and we carry on thinking like this, but we are eagles. Thus spread out your wings and fly, and never be satisfied with the corn thrown down for food as chickens." When James Agari wrote this story, all African countries were still under the government of white Europeans who thought that black people and the people of Africa were inferior. They said this quite openly. Eventually, many Africans believed it because of their position of powerlessness. Of course, Africans never had any reason to feel inferior. Many had a wonderful culture of their own. They had a wonderful culture of their own and a magnificent history. Many works of art were created in all parts of the continent, but this knowledge was forgotten and hidden. James Agari told this story to forgetful Africans to make them remember the real Africa and believe in the future again. But the story is also meant for everyone who is in danger of forgetting that they have been created in the image of God. They are eagles and not chickens. This transformed a nation. And do you know how I found this? I was at a prophetic conference with Graham Cook and he's talking away, and then suddenly out of the blue he goes, "You're an eagle and not a chicken." And then continues talking on another frame. Totally out of context. It struck my spirit. I was on a date with some guy and we got lost then next couple of weeks. And he goes, oh, look on that billboard, see where we are. I turned around and on the billboard it said, you're an eagle, not a chicken. And I went, that is so random. I completely freaked out. Like, God's speaking to me. I'm an eagle, not a chicken. Needless to say, I never had a date with him again. It's kind of funny. I was a teacher at the time and I had my primary school kids in the classroom. I'm like, it was library time. I'm like, okay, kids, sit down while the rest of them find a book. I'll read you a book. And I went like this. Pulled out a book. And it was The Eagle That Could Not Fly by James Agri. And I almost burst into tears and went into hysteria in front of my kids as I read this book. Because three times God was trying to drive it home to me. And then I came up to Byron for the very beginning of my time there. And next to Reese and Phil's house was this sign that said Eagle's Nest. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because he leads us and he guides us through the arts, through pictures, through visions, through dreams. Now, his cadence is powerful. And I want you to remember throughout the Old Testament, his sound actually caused armies to freak out and to be destroyed and to destroy each other. The scriptures, because I've written them down. They're helpful for you. We've got Jericho in Joshua 5 and 6, when they shouted around the walls came tumbling down. Now that's supernatural, and it's the sound of heaven causing the armies to be, you know, to the walls to come down. In 2 Chronicles 20 to 21, he sends out the musicians and the artists first in front of the wall. Because the sound actually shifts things in the heavenlies. See, when we create, it's powerful. When God creates, it carries atmosphere and power and encounter. And when we create, partnered with God, we carry atmosphere, power and encounter. So that's why it's so important to meld our fingers with His. Because He's the one who breathes the life over it and causes things to shift. Just a few months ago, we held an art exhibition from all of our artists. And my friend invited her New Age friend from TAFE, and he loved it. He was like, this is amazing. It's so healing. Look at the atmosphere. And he's raving away. And we're like, oh, cool. That's awesome. And the next day, he brings his sister-in-law, and she buys $150 worth of stuff. And our friend who was on sales said, oh, you must be really creative. You're really celebrating all this creativity. And she goes, oh, I am, but I haven't been able to create because my arm hurts. I've had this injury and I haven't been able to paint or do anything about that. And so she said, well, can I just release some healing over you? She said, sure. So she puts a hand on her, prays. The pain completely goes, she can do full rotation, and she gets completely healed. Now, okay, Jesus. This non-believer comes in because of an art exhibition, buys work, gets healed, and now can create. Because of Jesus. You hold an art exhibition, and people can get saved. We heard this story of these artists that just normal art exhibition, but creating from their emotions and what's going on. You know, I adore art. I'm a little bit wary of like the symbolic art that's just always cups and swords and lions and, you know, very obvious symbols. Jeez, they can be really good. Don't hear that I'm dissing them entirely. I have, you know, a picture of this massive dove on my wall, and some, you know, some of them I really love, but they can be a little bit scary too, yeah, because we feel like we have to be obvious. This is a painting about Jesus, you know. Well, this lady painted a picture of all these sharks because of her fear and overcoming fear, and she had an art exhibition. This person came up and she's like, I really resonate with this picture. Is this about fear? And the artist was there and got to share her journey of God taking her out of the sharks of her life and the fears that were attacking her life. And the lady gave her heart to Jesus to live in from fear. In Reading, they've had art exhibitions and heard like a ball of light coming out of a painting and jumping on someone's broken knee and healing their knee. Yeah? People have walked past art, and because it carries the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven, they start weeping. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying. I don't know why you're crying. Kingdom of God is here, and he's moving on your emotions. And it's such a relief. Because you've had to have it all together. You don't have to have it all together anymore. So we're asking for his presence to come and inhabit all of the artworks and all of our creative expressions. Is it time to finish? Five. Cool. Let me think about. Whoo! Yummy, yummy, yummy. Love it. Absolutely love him. One of the things that I wanted to let you know of is, you know, beauty and glory are one and the same thing. Retouched on this last night on the beauty realm and how God, he is obsessed with beauty. And so are we. People are trying to create heaven on earth. Make your gardens, make your houses, make all the things heaven on earth. Gotta do it. Just create my own paradise. And we're attracted to things of beauty. And God is. And he wants us to be. David says, one thing do I desire, that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 27:4. That we would behold his beauty. And Psalms 45:11 says, so the king will greatly desire your beauty. So we actually must give it to him. Because God greatly desires our beauty. Honor him because he is your Lord. See, God is looking for a glorious bride, confident to give him the gift of their offering to him and know that it's beautiful. He loves it. It's like kids, Dad, oh, that's amazing. He loves your offering. He loves you. Papa loves you. Like we heard this guy, Leif Hetland. He's like, Papa loves you. God loves you. He's happy with you. He's happy about you. He's happy about the things you create. He's happy about his world. He created and it was good. He didn't create and go, uh-oh. Oh no, it's stuffed up there, you know. Whoops. Have to have that one for eternity, you know. No. Oh my goodness, I love you. I get to celebrate you for eternity. Let's create together. What can we do? I could show you the world, shining, shimmering splendor. There's this book of this lady, Jesus came to her with all these songs from the world and would just sing to her one song after the other. Come fly with me, let's fly away. See, he's going to use Christian artwork and non-Christians because he just wants to speak to people. And, you know, he will breathe on it. And we can capture it and we can recapture it back from the world and show them what it really looks like when God's inhabiting it, when the creator of all, when the vibrancy and cadence of his life comes. You know, I heard of this story of a guy with autism, a kid with autism got taken up to heaven, sat on Papa God's lap, and he sung a song over him. And the cadence of that song changed the frequencies of his brain. He came back to earth and was healed. Yeah? Healing is in the arts because God is healer and he is creator. And that's what we want to see come. There's this little story here, standing on holy ground. A lady came and she gathered all these shoes, 30 pairs of shoes, from Christians around the world telling their inspiring stories and journeys of faith. And she put all the different shoes from these people around with their stories. and people would come and read the story of, what did they say, of a Muslim woman in Asia who came to know her faith in Jesus, and they'd cry. And the prostitute who came to know Jesus and got delivered and saved and loved up, of the evangelists that went around the world and sacrificed their life. And just shoes. But you could walk in their shoes on that journey. And he wants to inspire like creative ideas and vision of who he is this weekend and coming and coming and coming. The possibilities are limitless, and he will smack it full of his life. Mwah! The kiss of life all over your work. Yeah. So how about, just pop out your hands. If you want to stand or kneel or sit or whatever you want to do to have your creative expression before God, I want to pray for you. Shoo. Father, I pray that your winds will come and breathe over this group of people. Your inspiration would breathe. You'd blow over them. You'd blow through them. I pray for fire from heaven to come down, and you would ignite in their hearts passion for your creative works, that you would touch their fingers. Some people are going to have burning hands. Shoo, your hands are going to start to burn because of the fire of God coming upon your hands, that you know you're going to create. Some people are still going to, you're going to feel something on your head, that God's going to touch your head. You're thinking, he's rewiring your thinking to say, let me show you how I think. Let me show you how I speak. Let me show you how I want to share my love with this generation, with you, with the people around you. Father, I pray for your presence to brood over this group of people, that you would overshadow them, and that where they go, they would carry the shadow of your presence, the shadow of your joy, the inspiration and the creativity, God. Nothing being impossible. Shoo! Ho! More, 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 more. Increase, increase, increase. I pray for winds of change to blow through. That your change would blow through. Right now, just impart visions, pictures, dreams, stories, songs, rhythms, patterns, ideas, designs, dresses, jackets, shoes, shoo, business ideas, creative ways to make money, creative expressions of your kindness, creative compassion. Father, touch this generation. I pray that we would be like Mary, that we would be like Mary who comes and we'd offer our gift, our fragrant gift towards you, and pour it over your feet as a sweet offering to you, and get to walk away with the same fragrance, carrying it everywhere we go, carrying it around, carrying the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. More, 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 more. Brood, 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 brood over these people. Brood, 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 brood. Hope, 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 hope. Life and hope. Shoo! Ooh. New sounds. Sounds of heaven. Let them hear the angels. Let them hear the instruments. Take them in visions and trances. Speak to them in dreams. Little old me. He's going to use little old me. Little old me to touch everyone who comes into contact with your work, with you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's good. He's going to use you guys mightily. I think the thing about the arts is like, so you can come, you can speak to a person, but you can give a person a poem and that could remain with them for the rest of their life. So your artwork is going to have a longer impact on people than you could ever do with just simply your words. Just got a poem, so just stay standing, seated, whatever you want to do. The longing draws, and the languid blue of the ocean calls and draws you into its arms, constantly beckoning with the rhythm of its waves to deeper things and untouched places of mysteries untold. The expanse of your heart beating against the shores of reality, pounding into the jagged places only to shatter and disperse, but not be displaced. For the waves will not be overcome, but over time smooth, jagged places and create intricacies of art for time and space to behold. Lovingly, longingly it awaits. Its patience is stirred and the clouds thunder. The earth quakes and shakes at the expectancy, the arising of the sons of man. The birthing is taking place. It is painful to behold, but what joy awaits her. The untouched inheritance grasped in the hands of a child. The thunderous power of eternity breathed through its lips. Who can dispel such sons of thunder? Who can quell the yearning and the turning of dreams actualized? They will not be silenced. They will not be stopped. Advances of heavenly power will blow minds and demolish strongholds. Intimate lovers will walk on water, and passion will burn so strong that fire started in the heart of man will consume a nation. Behold and become. For as the veil's getting thinner now, we will see him and be like him. The earth, it quakes and shakes at the expectancy, the arising of the sons of man. Enter into your eternal destiny and behold the glory, the vision, the desire of the Son of God.